This is breaking news coverage from South Carolina ETV Radio, South Carolina Public Radio, of Governor Nikki Haley signing into law a bill that removes the Confederate battle flag from the grounds of the State House. I'm Beryl Dakers, joined by historian and author Dr. Walter Edgar and State House Week producer Russ McKinney. With the shooting deaths of 9 African-American worshipers in Charleston's Emmanuel AME Church on June 17th, and the discovery later that week that the accused gunman, Dylan Roof, now in custody, had posted online pictures of himself with the Confederate battle flag, along with a racist manifesto, a growing public opinion against the display of the flag at the State House Memorial for the Confederate dead has resulted in this afternoon's event. The signing by Governor Haley of a bill approved by the legislature to remove this symbol to the Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum. Final passage of the bill came early this morning. Russ McKinney, you were there for much of the debate in the House of Representatives last evening. Would you please give us some insight into those final moments?
Well, it was certainly a memorable debate, a long, I think most members would describe it as exhausting debate. They started about 11 o'clock yesterday morning, took a couple of breaks, but for the most part, they were there pretty close. In my opinion, the debate was kind of in two phases. The first part seemed to be the groups that were promoting, trying to maintain as much of the Confederate heritage in South Carolina as they could, in a very systematic, orderly, reasoned manner throughout the day, were offering various amendments to do this or do that, mostly to take the place of the flag when and if it came down. But as the evening progressed and the debate progressed, it began to take a little turn, and the proponents of taking the flag down began to get a little more aggressive because they were concerned about what they, I think, thought was maybe stall tactics, maybe even efforts to actually kill the bill. So the debate got a little more contentious in the evening and kind of stayed that way until the final adoption around 1 this morning.
Well, with some 60-plus amendments offered, that was certainly fruit for discussion and could easily lead to fears of the stall tactics.
The Senate on Monday passed a very simple bill, what they refer to as a clean bill, and it basically said the Confederate flag comes down, the pole comes down, and the flag will go to the Confederate Relic Room and Museum. If the House had changed that in any way, if they had amended that in any way, the two bills would be different. The whole process would be could become, you know, protracted days, maybe weeks, and maybe even put, you know, the bill in jeopardy. So that was the reason they were the proponents of bringing the flag down were insisting on no amendments, clean bill.
It's very interesting that there a crowd of legislators have gathered in awaiting the governor's presence to sign this bill, including former Senator Kay Patterson, who was very instrumental in the initial call for taking the flag from atop the dome at the State House. Dr. Edgar, this is being termed a very historical event. As we see the governor coming in, I believe, in just a moment, can you tell us how significant?
Yes, it is. The Confederate battle flag has been a part of the State House since 1956, when it first was put in the Senate chamber. And then in 1962, it was put up on the State House dome as part of the Civil War Centennial, or as was called in South Carolina, the Confederate War Centennial. But beginning in 1979, with Senator Kay Patterson and some other African-American legislators, there was an effort to take the battle flag off of the dome. And a number of prominent businessmen, such as Gail Averett, who was then president of Colonial Life, worked to try to make that happen. And of course, we the compromise 15 years ago in 2000. And you mentioned Senator Kay Patterson. He was a key player in that compromise.
And of course, we remember Mayor Joe Riley leading that historic walk from Charleston.
Yes. Along with a number of athletic figures who joined him, basketball coach at USC then. But what was interesting is that the compromise didn't really make anybody very happy. There was a lot of disagreement within the black community and in the white community over as compromises are, everybody tries to get something and everybody has to give up something, and nobody really feels comfortable with it.
Well, disagreement certainly among flag supporters and those who were opposed to having the flag there.
It looks like about several hundred people are on the second floor, the main floor of the State House. The governor's office is actually on the first floor, the ground floor, but this signing ceremony is being held beneath the rotunda between the House and Senate chambers on the second floor of the State House. The building is always open to the public, so not only will the invited guests be there and the probably a couple of hundred of the media folks there, counting all the camera crews, et cetera, the State House will be full. I see a number of folks standing around the upper balcony looking down on the event. The governor's office generally orchestrates things like this pretty carefully. You can see the traditional podium is in place in the center of the lobby, and there's a table to the side with a number of ink pens that I assume the governor will be signing the bill with and then presenting them to different individuals.
What's been very interesting is the fact that we have learned that this flag that has been so contentious was never actually the official flag. The Confederacy.
That is right, Beryl. In fact, when Representative John Amasa May made his motion, the bill in 1962, he said purchase the Confederate flag. Well, the Confederate flag, the actual flag of the Confederacy, was not purchased. Instead, what they flew was the Confederate naval jack, the flag that is now at the monument in front of the State House is the flag that was used by the Army of Northern Virginia, Robert E. Lee's army, but it was never officially adopted by the Confederate government in any capacity.
It has, however, been adopted by various organizations and groups supportive of the Confederate heritage.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, interestingly, in the 1950s, as the civil rights movement began to take root and opposition to that grew in the white community, the Sons of the Confederate Veterans tried to get a law passed to, they said, protect the Confederate flag from being misused.
We're hearing applause now as we see former governors Richard Riley, Jim Hodges, and other figures there, Russ.
It appears that most of the officials right behind the podium are Democrats. Most of them at this point African American. There certainly are some Republicans there. Some of the constitutional officers are there, and
Supreme Court Justice Gene Toll.
Yeah. Right. And there's Governor David Beasley coming in now.
And the moments earlier, we saw, of course, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who is a South Carolina native son, who has been very prominently visible during these deliberations.
I would not be surprised if some members of the families of the nine victims in the Emanuel Church shooting will perhaps come in with the governor.
She has been, this whole experience on her has been rather telling. I mean, her emotional reaction, Beryl, she took this very personally in terms of reaching out.
Well, we do know that she attended the funerals of each of the nine victims and met with each family.
And she hasn't let it go with just her call for the flag to come down. During a break, during the debate yesterday, the House Republican Caucus met. She attended the meeting, and she again, we're told, made another forceful pitch that the flag needed to come down.
Yeah, I think it is perhaps in hindsight rather prophetic, but during her state address, the governor said, "I believe in the will of the people. If we approach our challenges with the mindset that can't is not an option and begin to instead ask ourselves the question, how do we get to where we need to go, we will give the people of South Carolina a state that every other state in the country looks at and says, that's how you do it."
Seeing more and more members of the Republican members of the House are beginning to come in, including a lot of the House GOP leadership. It was interesting, the leadership in the House, the Republican leadership, were very supportive of bringing the flag down. Most of the opponents, obviously, were also Republicans, but the leadership, including Speaker Jay Lucas, seemed to be firmly committed toward seeing the bill passed yesterday.
Well, it's interesting, too. We see Rick Quinn there. And, of course, he is the one who withdrew that final amendment that was, I guess, the last stumbling block.
Yeah. And in 2000, Speaker Wilkins and the leadership helped push that compromise bill through the House of Representatives. The leadership was the leadership.
And truly, Representative Gilda Cobb Hunter was a part of the group, instrumental in that decision at the time. And she, of course, has been one of the most vocal leaders in this call for getting rid of it, citing the fact that that compromise, although it seemed the best at the time, was an unsatisfactory one for all sides.
That's true. And some of the debate, the statements made by various members of the General Assembly, State Senator Paul Thurman, for example, State Representative Jenny Horn from Dorchester, have been picked up by the national media, and not just because of what they said, but the forcefulness with what they said, and the way it was done. Chip, I don't remember a more eloquent appeal to the House than what Jenny Horn did.
I agree.
The governor is now approaching the podium. She's being applauded, certainly by those gathered there. And we go now to the Honorable Nikki Haley.
Again, I'm not going to try and see if all the cameras are ready. You know, look at everybody around us. I mean, that's the first thing I want you to take in, is just look at the shot. Can y'all hear me on the mic? Press guys? Are we good? 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3, we good? Can the TV guys hear?
Yes.
All right, I will yell as loud as I can. So, you know, it's hard for us to look at what is happening today and not think back to 22 days ago. It seems like so long ago because the grieving has been so hard. But at the same time, we have all been struck by what was a tragedy that we didn't think we would ever encounter. 9 amazing people that forever changed South Carolina's history. Having said that, I have to acknowledge the series of events that took place through all of this, because it is the true story of South Carolina. The actions that took place are what will go down in the history books. 9 people took in someone that did not look like them or act like them. And with true love and true faith and true acceptance, they sat and prayed with him for an hour. That love and faith was so strong that it brought grace to their families. It showed them how to forgive. So then we saw the action of forgiveness. We saw the family show the world what true forgiveness and grace looked like. That forgiveness and grace set off another action, an action of compassion by people all across South Carolina and all across this country. They stopped looking at each other's differences. They started looking at each other's similarities because we were all experiencing the same pain. So then you take that compassion, and that compassion motivated action. That compassion motivated people wanting to do something about it. So the action was taken by the General Assembly. And what we saw in that swift action by both the House and Senate was we saw members start to see what it was like to be in each other's shoes, start to see what it felt like. We heard about the true honor of heritage and tradition. We heard about the true pain that many had felt. And we took the time to understand it. I saw passions get high. I saw passions get low, mm-hmm. but I saw commitment never ending. And so what we saw was another action. And that action is that the Confederate flag is coming off the grounds of the South Carolina State House. So tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we will see the Confederate flag come down. We are a state that believes in tradition. We're a state that believes in history. We're a state that believes in respect. So we will bring it down with dignity, and we will make sure that it is put in its rightful place. But this is a story about action. This is a story about the history of South Carolina and how the action of 9 individuals laid out this long chain of events that forever showed the state of South Carolina what love and forgiveness looks like. And I will tell you that now this is about our children. Mm-hmm. Because when they go back and look in the history books, while we're still grieving, and the grieving is going to last for a long time, when the emotions start to fade, the history of the actions that took place by everyone in South Carolina to get us to this moment is one that we can all be proud of. So 22 days ago, I didn't know that I would ever be able to say this again. But today, I am very proud to say that it is a great day in South Carolina. And so with that, we don't want to wait any longer. We are now going to sign the bill. So I want to say it is with great pride that I am surrounded by members of the Emanuel 9 family. I want to thank them for taking the time to come. I'm also surrounded by former governors who put their name on a letter, put their support together to say, yes, while we have been a part of South Carolina's past, we want to see this part of South Carolina's future go in the right direction. So I thank everybody that is with me today.
The governor is literally signing the document, using several pens for her as she affixes her signature to this. State law, of course, required that the governor sign this bill in order to make the lowering of the flag or the dismissal of that flag legitimate. It's interesting as we watched former Governor Dick Riley, former Governor Jim Hodges, and former Governor David Beasley closely clustered around her shoulders during this action. There appear to be 10 to 12 pens there as she picks each one up and scribbles a little.
With that, I am proud to say that the bill has been signed. I do want to also acknowledge these 9 pens are going to each of the 9 families of the Emanuel 9. May we never forget the actions that those people took to get us to this point today. And then I've got a couple of other pens. Many of people have talked about the courage that took place by so many across the state. But one person started this almost 2 decades ago, and that was Governor David Beasley. And the last time I saw him, I said, you started it. And he said, well, I need you to finish it.
All right.
I am now finished.
The governor just handed a pen to Beasley.
Was someone who also understands what this can feel like, what the tensions can feel like, what it means to do something. He worked very hard and is the person that brought the Confederate flag off the dome. And I want to thank you for all that you've done in terms of support and all that you've done to lead South Carolina in the past.
Thank you, Governor.
The second pin being given to former Governor Jim Hodges.
And these two are for me. So with that, I will tell you, thank you very much. Thank you for making it another great day in South Carolina. We are now looking forward to the future and the future of our children. Thank you very much. God bless.
We have just witnessed the historic signing of the bill that will provide for the lowering of the Confederate battle flag from the State House grounds and its subsequent removal to the Confederate Relic Room at the State Museum.
And for historical purposes, the design of the battle flag was done by William Pershay Miles of South Carolina, as it was proposed to be the possible national flag, but of course the Stars and Bars was adopted instead.
Russ McKinney, as you witness this and you look at all of the various persons who are there, one would never know that there was any rancor or any tension among the bipartisan groups that we see now all celebrating this event.
And it was particularly struck by Governor Beasley and Governor Hodges standing shoulder to shoulder, looking very comfortable, even actually looking glad to be with one another. And this issue of the flag became an issue in their election, Walter.
Absolutely. And I think in the debate last night, in the House, State Representative Mike Pitts, a white lawmaker who had not wanted the flag to come down, suddenly rose to pay tribute to a black legislator, Representative Lonnie Hosey, for his patriotism in fighting the Vietnam War. And he said, "Lonnie Hosey, if that flag hurts your heart, it hurts my heart." And this was his concession that he was no longer going to oppose taking the flag down.
We see now, is anyone surprised with the amount of attention this particular event has garnered in the national media? Because we see there gathered among all of the other legislators and persons of note, and of course the families of the 9 slain members of Emmanuel AME Church, many, many, many news persons from around the country.
I think initially I was a little surprised, but if you think about it, we've seen the convergence of so many issues within the last several weeks. The horrendous act in Charleston, followed by the governor assuming a leadership position on this and calling for that flag down, and for the General Assembly to heed her call and step up in a very swift period of time, did something that some folks have been trying to get done for close to 40 years.
Absolutely. It's something that the business community of South Carolina really has been trying to do, as you say, for almost 40 years. But it took this act in Charleston, this horror, to get people to focus on what the flag means to all South Carolinians, not just to one or two groups.
The urgency with which the governor suggested that they move, and the way that the Senate took heed and did indeed make sure that they moved with dispatch, and I think also the prohibition that they wanted a clean bill, they would not accept any amendments, seems to signify that there was an understanding that South Carolina was in a now or never moment, or a do or die moment, I should say.
I think one of the critical points, and perhaps maybe a turning point in that debate, was Republican Jenny Horn from Somerville. Her district represents Dorchester and Charleston County. She made an impassioned speech, I guess somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock last night, that seemed to kind of turn the debate, and we're going to listen to some of her remarks from last night.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your indulgence tonight, and I know the hour is late, so I will be brief. As a member of the Charleston delegation, I would like to express to you how important it is that we not amend this bill. And the reason we need not amend this bill at this time is because if we amend the bill in any form or fashion, it is going to a conference committee. It is not going to end quickly. We are going to be doing this all summer long. Let me tell you, I attended the funeral of Senator Clemente Pinckney, and the people of Charleston deserve immediate and swift removal of that flag from this grounds. We can save for another day where this flag needs to go, where the which flag needs to fly, or where it needs to fly, or what museum it needs to be in. But the immediate issue, as far as I'm concerned, as a member of the Charleston delegation and speaking on behalf of the people in Charleston, this flag offends my friend Mia McLeod, my friend John King, my friend Reverend Neal. I cannot believe that we do not have the heart in this body to do something meaningful, such as take a symbol of hate off these grounds on Friday. And if any of you vote to amend, you are ensuring that this flag will fly beyond Friday. And for the widow of Senator Pinckney and his two young daughters, that would be adding insult to injury. And I will not be a part of it. And for all of these reasons, I will not vote to amend this bill today. We may visit this another session, another year. But if we amend this bill, we are telling the people of Charleston, we don't care about you. We do not care that someone use this symbol of hate to slay eight innocent people who are worshiping their God. I'm sorry, I have heard enough about heritage. I have a heritage. I am a lifelong South Carolinian. I am a descendant of Jefferson Davis, okay? But that does not matter. It's not about Jenny Horn. It's about the people of South Carolina who have demanded that this symbol of hate come off of the State House grounds. And I will tell you, I do know, and I have it on good authority, that the world is watching this debate. And there is an economic development prospect in Dorchester County that is in jeopardy because we refuse to act. We need to follow the example of the Senate, remove this flag, and do it today. Because this issue is not getting any better with age. Thank you.
Having heard the debate on this particular time and also in 2000, I will say that Representative Horn's words, that is one of the most eloquent speeches, Russ and Beryl, that I have heard in the General Assembly in my experience, and that's over 45 years of listening to debates.
I think also the fact that she represented both sides. She could speak to her Southern heritage, and she spoke to her responsibilities to her constituency. I just think she was the perfect spokesperson, and that apparently was the turning point in the debate this morning.
And it just sort of happened. Rush, you were there, and she asked for the floor, and again, it was very impassioned, and she hit everything, the legislative process, the tragedy at Emanuel, and the impact of the world watching South Carolina. And she was not exaggerating. The world has been watching South Carolina and what we have done and how we have behaved since the tragedy at Mother Emanuel.
We talk about the legislative action, but Walter, you have mentioned, and of course we know that the business community, the athletic community, so many different elements have come together, though, to make this happen.
Yeah, it was interesting. Normally that lobby is always full of lobbyists. I was struck that there were no lobbyists up there during the debate for the last several days. It was like, you know, we're going to stay out of this. But during all of the hours of the debate last night, sitting in the lobby, listening, watching on the big screens, was Louis Gossett, who's head of the State Manufacturers Association, a very critical group in bringing industry into this state. He has spoken publicly about the importance of that. And while there were no lobbyists per se, Mr. Gossett was there taking in every minute of it and letting legislators, House members, know that he was there. He wasn't calling them out and talking to them. He was just present.
And that was enough. The State Chamber of Commerce, as we say, the business leadership, stepped forward just as they did in 1963 when Governor McNair kept the schools of South Carolina open with desegregation. This is one of those signal moments in South Carolina history. I'm sorry, and it was 1968 with Governor McNair, not 1963. That was Governor Holling's speech in 1963. But governors taking a leadership position and then getting the community, civic, business, athletic, to come in behind them and make something happen.
It will be interesting to see how things progress now as we go forth from this. The flag is actually expected to be removed tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. from the State House grounds. And as we look at this, we will stand by. You've been listening to breaking news coverage of Governor Nikki Haley signing into law the bill to remove from the State House grounds the Confederate battle flag. I'd like to thank historian Dr. Walter Edgar and, of course, State House Week's Russ McKinney for joining us this afternoon. That flag will be moved to the Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum at the State Museum. For ETV, South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Beryl Dakers.